Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello and welcome to an Ask Me Anything episode of I Weigh with Jameela Jamil. Today I am joined by one of my favourite humans. She's a really good friend of mine and she's just one of the most ridiculous people I know, but also one like weirdly wise for someone so young. And so I thought
Thank
she could come here today.
Young.
That's all right.
I've been trying to get you to say that for ages. Thanks for admitting it.
Grace Campbell is here joining me today, all the way from England, and we both put out a request for questions, anything you wanted us to answer. And so you sent in fucking loads of questions and we're going to do our best to answer everything from the very serious to the completely ridiculous. Let's start with, Grace, how are you?
I'm great.
Yeah?
I've got three cans of La Croix of me, so I feel really happy.
You've been living with me for a week now.
I've been living with you for 8 days, actually, and counting.
And we're still friends.
I think it's been really good.
Yeah, I feel closer to you than ever. Because I didn't know how it was going to go, because we've never hung out
for more than
4 hours.
Jameela is looking at me in the most intense way, and she hasn't blinked.
I am holding one knife to her.
She has not blinked for 7 minutes. She's staring at me, possessed.
I am having a good time. James and Jameela are treating me well.
I wake up and Jameela's at the end of the bed in the middle of the night just staring at me. No, I'm having a really nice time. You're a wonderful person.
Aw, I love you. And given that we'd only ever hung out for about 3 or 4 hours at a time, it was a bit of a risk, but actually it's been incredibly chill
it
and fun.
It has been good. It's been good.
Yeah.
Apart from my slight...
we don't need to get into that. Okay, so one of the first questions that I want to start with is someone asking, what are your thoughts on keeping in touch with an ex?
Well, I would say, okay, so I've done all of these different variations of like breaking up with people and like keeping in touch, not keeping in touch, trying to like not talk to them and never contact them again. And I think... in my experience, it doesn't work.
Why?
Because, well, it is totally dependent. But if there are any kind of like unresolved feelings on either side, being in communication is only going to mean that that person who has unresolved feelings is not resolving those feelings on their own. Mm-hmm. So I kept in touch with my ex-boyfriend for like a year afterwards. And it meant that neither of us moved on. And it was actually so weird. Like
were you shagging?
Not for the first 9 months, and I was seeing someone else, and then it was really weird. We actually kept in touch for a while after that, and then we saw each other for a bit, and then we ended it again. And then I remember this really weird moment, which I always think about because it was so weird, because we obviously weren't over each other, where we were both seeing new people, but we were constantly talking to each other about these new people that we were seeing, but comparing the
That's
new people
really
we were
strange.
Seeing with our relationship with each other, and like advising each other on how to get through stuff with these new people based on how we were, but also kind of being like, but I want to be with you. It was so odd. And obviously that's a very specific experience. And I'll never do that again, I don't think, because it slowed down the process of like healing from the relationship. So I don't know. I don't know if it's the best thing. I think if you have children or dogs, like you have to, or pets, mm-hmm. you have to keep in touch with them, which is unfortunate.
I think it's more a matter of how long after the breakup you can maybe establish a relationship with someone. I think staying in touch immediately after a breakup is incredibly fucking difficult because it means that the wounds never have a chance to heal. But I've definitely, like a year or 2 or 3 years afterwards, been able to reconnect with that person in a way where I know they're in a separate relationship, they're really happy in, and I'm coming to fucking up. No, I and I'm in a happy relationship and we're both happy for each other and we've both landed in really good places and recognized that actually our relationship was not necessarily the best thing for either of us. That for me has worked, but I definitely need like a solid year because I need to forget their genitals.
Yes.
It's so fucking crazy to be with someone who's like you have like a vivid memory of their genitals.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane to sit opposite them. What? I think it's crazy. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. Like every time I blink, I'm just
about their genitals. Like, I think about their cum faces more. I'm thinking about exes in that way. I'm not thinking about their dicks. I'm thinking about the strange, sad sounds they make when they come.
Did I tell you about the guy that I dated who was so posh that when he came, he said, "Hoorah!"
How dare you? That is awful. So that's awful. And you dated this person as in you slept with them more than once.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was telling you the other day about that guy that I was seeing not long ago, and when he would come, it was like he just found out his whole family had died. Like he would cry so much. Like
Braveheart scream.
And it was literally like that. And like he was sacrificing himself. And every time he'd make those sounds, I'd be like, this is the last time I'm going to have sex with him. This is the last time I'm going to go through this. And then I'd always be there again, like 4 days later, and he's doing it again. I'm like, this is the last time I'm going to
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now listen, we all carry around different stressors, big, small, medium size, and a lot of us keep them bottled up because sometimes we just have to. But doing that all of the time can really, really start to negatively impact your life. And I say that from experience. I'm British. We are told to never say how we're feeling about anything ever. And that's why so many of us are so sad. Now, a way that I was able to remedy that was by having therapy, which was super helpful for me, not only because it's amazing to get things off your chest, but also all week, you know, as you're bottling things up, because it's not always the time or place to say exactly how you feel, you know, you're going to get that hour where you're able to get everything off your chest and say it exactly as you want to. And this therapist isn't going to take it personally, and they're not going to hold it against you or throw it back in your face during an argument over dinner next week. You just have this complete freedom. Honestly, I think everyone should have therapy, regardless of whether they think they need it, because it's so amazing to have a confidant. It's a journal that talks back to you and helps you with all of your problems. I think therapy is just a safe space to get everything off your chest, to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, then maybe you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be super convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and then you can switch therapists if you don't like them anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/iWay today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/iWay.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade, New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker, London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Oh, that's so wrong. So wrong.
That's always the thing. Once my feelings for someone have like calmed down and resolved, I look at those things and I'm like, what?
Yeah, but I think what is the healthy place to be with each other.
But weirdly, when I'm like, what? I don't want to talk to them. So I've had that with exes where like we get to a point where we could be friends and then I'm like, I don't want to be friends with you.
Right. No, that's fair. That's fair. I think I'm only really in like proper touch with like one of my exes, and that feels really nice. It's not excessive. We talk like 3 times a year, check in with each other, because we loved each other. Yeah, and we had an amazing time together, and circumstances kind of pulled us apart. We weren't right for each other. That's okay. But it doesn't take away from the friendship. So I think it's just about giving yourself the space and time to forget the cum face and the genitals and to heal from all the trauma. And then it is possible. And it really also, I guess, kind of depends on the security of your new spouse.
What about...
You kind of have to take that into account.
What about if you... Okay, if you... I know you're in a fucking long-term relationship, so you should really ask me this question. But like, hypothetically, what if you started seeing someone and they were still in constant communication with their ex?
I've been in that situation before where she was a part of the friend group of my ex. So they saw each other all the time and I didn't really have a choice. And I knew that they'd broken up for a reason. So I didn't really feel threatened by that. But I also don't feel threatened by anything ever.
Yeah, well, that's why I wish you'd have asked me that question.
Okay, fine. Now the same question to you. What would you do?
I would struggle with it.
Right.
Because I think that, especially if it was a fresh breakup, I would be like, because having been in that situation where I've just broken up with someone and I've started seeing someone, but I'm still in constant communication with my ex, it's really confusing to actually develop feelings for someone in a fresh, clean slate way when you're still talking to the person you've just broken up with.
Yeah.
So I think I would be quite like worried.
Yeah, maybe a recent breakup I would struggle with, but I don't know. Other than that, I would just say, It's a case-by-case basis, but if you've broken up amicably, give it some time, move on, and then really establish firm boundaries with that friendship so that you don't end up hurting yourselves or your partners. Okay, next question. Handling job interview rejection. Have you ever been rejected for a job?
I've never had a job.
That's not true. Wait, is that true?
What?
James has never had a job.
I've never had a real job.
That's crazy.
Well, I've had jobs. Like, I've done stuff. Obviously, mm-hmm. I make a living.
But, yeah, you're a working comedian.
No, I had a job in a pub for mm-hmm. a while. But that was, like, Jack's mum's pub. So
right,
I worked in the pub, yeah. And that was epic. And then I worked at the Natural History Museum mm-hmm. as a dinosaur.
Okay.
And I worked in the cafe. That took you ages. I worked in the cafe there and I was pretty good at that. Then I worked as a tour assistant on a reggae, like big reggae festival.
Okay.
Which I was really good at.
There you go.
With Damian Marley.
Yeah, so you had
then
proper jobs.
I got fired from that job.
Right.
Because my pupils were so dilated and they said that I looked like I was on drugs.
Were you on drugs,
no.
Grace? Oh.
My pupils are always massive. Have you not noticed that about me?
No. Sorry.
It's crazy because you're staring into my eyes constantly. What are you looking at?
Just looking to see if there's
no
a soul
one
in there.
The colour of my eyes because my pupils are always so massive.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair.
So tell me about your job rejections.
A lot of mine have been in this industry. Like if I've gone up for like a telly job and then I haven't got it, and it has been, I don't know if it's denial that reinstates the sentiment of like what passes you or what misses you just isn't for you. But it has, that does really resonate with me because every time I've not gotten a job that I thought I wanted or I thought would be good, I've then gone on to see that that job wouldn't have been the right thing for me. Like either something massive happened in my life that would have made that job nearly fucking impossible for me to do, or it turned out to be shit. Or people who were on that job turned out to be fucking miserable. And it's always been like a kind of almost Final Destination-esque, like near miss. And so I think that it's really, really easy to project that, oh my God, that would have been the job of my dreams. That would have been the best experience of my life. But actually, often it just is not something that's compatible for you. And I'm not a super spiritual, religious person in any way, but I do think I'm starting to get more into the idea as I age fast of destiny and fate. And there's something that I find kind of reassuring about that, even though it's deeply, deeply unscientific. What about you?
I think so. I mean, I have never, ever, ever struggled with any kind of work rejection ever. My main issue is I struggle with romantic rejection. I think all of my problems with rejection are concentrated into that. Mm. Whenever I don't get a job that like I wanted, or whenever something in my career doesn't quite go how I wanted it to, I'm always like, yeah, that's fine, because I'm going to do this to make up for that. And this will still happen. Mm-hmm. It's something But like my issue is like when I get broken up with by a man, like I want to kill myself for like 6 months and I can't look in the mirror. So mm-hmm. like I definitely am bad with rejection. I just think it's all about like validation in relationships. I don't know why that is. We could try and unpack that, but I don't think we have time. So I just kind of like move on and say, well, there'll be another job. that I'll get.
Yeah, I really think it's important that you think about that and you make sure to fill that time with, like, what have I learned from this? What can I now do with this time to make it purposeful? And what can I look for that maybe fits me better? It means it doesn't fit you. It's the same thing with romantic rejection. Like, why should we want something that doesn't fit us?
Exactly.
Why do we want someone who doesn't want us back? It doesn't make any sense because it's not conducive
to
a really happy vibe.
The comparison
together.
You can draw with that and jobs is when you fight for a job, mm-hmm. and it's the same with when you sort of fight with for an idea of a relationship or fight for a person, you want it more, even if it isn't right, and you in years or months to come will see that it's not right for you. When you are when you're going through a process trying to get a job and you have to do like 5 interviews, even if you started not wanting that job, mm-hmm. the process of going through that makes you want it so much more, which is why the rejection at the end of that feels so much worse.
Right. Okay. So that makes sense. I think I have a blind spot there then, because there's nothing that I actually want that badly at all, apart from snacks.
Donuts.
Yeah exactly.
Don't try and say there's nothing to me.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I think I've always lived with a philosophy of high hopes and low expectations. And so and this means not just in work, but also in love, I've always kind of lived inside of a fuck it bucket where I'm just like, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. And if someone isn't willing to kind of lay down their life for me as a partner, then I'm like, well, why would I want that person then if they're not? If they're even vaguely uninterested in me, I immediately get completely turned off. I'm turned on by someone else's ardour, by someone else's affection for me or attention towards me. Someone being like a bit cold towards me or anything, that can make some people even more interested.
Me.
It gives me the immediate ick. I'm just like, no, no, thank you. I want something that is completely clear and certain and we're both in and we're up for it and we're ready to go. And I've been that way with work as well. If someone's not excited to work with me, for example, I'm now at a place in my career where, not to brag, I get sometimes straight offers, which is where you don't have to audition to get the role. And I insist on auditioning anyway now, because I want to know that they're happy with the way I'm going to do it and I want to earn the role. When it hasn't been a great fit, it's been a fucking miserable experience and my mental health has taken a toll and my physical health has taken a toll, and a relationship that is unhappy is so detrimental to my entire soul. It really ruins my health. And so I'm just not interested in anything other than certainty, pleasure and fun and world peace.
And world peace. Let's end on that.
But I know not everyone feels that way.
I'm not like that. I'm like, things that I can have, I don't want. Like, I don't, like, it's weird. It's
I think a lot of people relate to that.
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
I think that it is a very normal feeling when something that feels slightly out of reach, and maybe it's a kind of deep desire to self-sabotage, because instead of seeking the things that will make you feel good, it's like a part of kind of not thinking you deserve good things. So then chasing things that you probably won't get, or that you'll get but they won't work out for you because there are clear warning signs, but you think that's what you deserve.
And is there an extra ego boost in being able to turn someone's like mind around if someone's not sure about you, showing them that actually, no, I'm the person.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's something that kind of, I don't know, there's something complimentary in that for someone?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's really interesting. Like, in my career in comedy, I have never really been approved of in comedy in the UK. Like, that's going to sound really, like, people will really hate that I'm saying that. But in a critical way, people have always chatted a lot of shit about me because, mm-hmm. I guess, like, my dad is well known in the UK, and people felt that, I don't know, that it was happening maybe too easily for me. And then on a sort of like industry level, I still think there's this weird vibe of people like not really knowing what to make of me. And instead of me, I guess, trying to prove that, which is I'm slightly contradicting myself now, I've just gone the other way of like, well, I'll just do it without you and on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So in work, I'm not like that. It's literally just with men that I'm like,
yeah, I can't really decide if mine is cowardice or chill. I think it's somewhere between the two.
That's like, interesting.
Yeah. I think it's more chill, personally.
Because right, yeah. I don't think you, like, but I don't know, you could just be a really good actor and you're like, you're
I
tricking
think we
us
know
all.
I'm not a very good actor.
But you could be tricking all of the people in your life.
No, No, I do think it is just chill. I think what it is for me fundamentally, and I think this is a kind of sweeping philosophy of mine that is growing, is that especially when you have grown up as a woman and all the uncomfortable things that come with being a woman, including like the fucking periods and the pain. And I'm also someone who's, you know, experienced a lot of health problems. I broke my back when I was younger and all this shit. I've gone through so much shit that I'm just like, I don't want to be uncomfortable voluntarily for a second. Even when I get my dental hygiene done, they always try and talk me out of having like some form of anesthetic. And I'm like, why would I not take the anesthetic? I'm fine if I talk like this for the rest of the day. That's fine. Give me the That's fucking shit. Anyway. Give me anything. I have laughing gas during a pap smear. So I'm fucking screaming with laughter through the entire thing. I will take anything that will stop me from feeling any kind of lack of pleasure. I'm whatever the opposite of no pain, no gain is. I am that. Like, I just, and so I think it extends to work and it extends to love. It's yeah. like, I refuse it's good that to you, be uncomfortable.
I think you have a good, and you're very good at doing this with me, of assessing, like, because I'm very bad at assessing what is a good or bad situation for me. Like, I don't trust my judgment. And that's kind of where I'm at the moment in my relationships with men, is because of making quite poor decisions in the past. I really don't trust my judgment. So I do take a lot of opinions from other people, and you're good at seeing things in that way of what is actually going to be good for you long term versus what do you feel in this moment, which feels really intense, but in like 5 days it won't.
Yeah, well, I just personally believe, anyone who's listening to this, I think you should always run towards the most pleasure and ease possible in life.
I think that's very good
I think
advice.
That we've had it very glamorized to suffer and to be heroes and to be martyrs. And I think that that is very, very insidious conditioning that is specifically targeted at women. It's targeted at men in different ways, maybe more physical ways or work ways, but in every way women are targeted to just endure. Endure, and tolerate suffering and think it's somehow our fault. And so run from suffering however you can in this already difficult world. That's just my
very, very good advice.
Two cents.
Yeah, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. What are ways to self-soothe? Wanking?
Yep. Masturbating. But good old vibrator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having a good old fud.
Who are it's you? Not, you're like an old English man. You're like an old, like, I know, pervy English man whose eyes can't like help themselves from looking down at my
breast. I know, I'm seconds away from fancy a friendly poke. Other than wanking.
Well, I mean,
I think we solved it.
Other than wanking, what's a good way to self-soothe? Well, none of the things that I do are things that I should recommend.
I disagree. You compulsively watch your favourite comedy shows that you love.
That's
that
true.
Make you feel better.
I'm rewatching Insecure at the moment. That calms me down a lot.
I like to rewatch Girls because their lives are so stressful that I immediately feel better about my own turmoil.
That's exactly how I feel when I watch those shows, because it's a good bit of like, oh, actually, everyone's going through this all the
time.
Yeah,
I'm not alone.
Well, you got me onto playing that game, Impulse, which I do now whenever I'm trying not to like send someone an angry message. I go on Impulse and just play games instead.
You've now plugged La Croix and Impulse.
I know.
And I'm not getting paid by either. So thanks,
okay.
Grace.
I'm sorry. Well, maybe there's a future collaboration pending now with La Croix.
I hope
do you know
so.
What
Impulse
I mean?
Is a fantastic app that has lots
Speak
of mind puzzles
existence.
That help you with your memory.
Yeah,
which you especially
amazing.
Need at my age.
Exactly, at your exactly, age and yeah. not at my age, because I'm a ripe
well,
old young peach.
On your way.
I'm in my 20s. I'm very much in my
peach,
20s.
But yeah. You are actually very
Six
last
months left of my
of
20s.
Actually, you know what? That's okay. Wait. Just before we get into it, I also think time with friends is incredibly important. I think it's important to find that balance of making sure you take time alone and don't feel like you're being weird or antisocial. We all need a bit of time to regroup. Put on your favorite television. Listen to your favorite music. Go for walks. Please
but
go
also,
for walks.
Hang out with dogs. I would say my main thing is like that's what's been so nice staying with you, and that's what I do when I'm in London. Is if I'm sad or if I'm feeling anything, I just hug my dog.
Yeah, hug your dog, and please go for walks. I'm not asking you to do any kind of boring exercise, but go for a walk. Listen to a podcast. Listen to music. It is outrageous the speed at which moving your body can shift your perspective and give you a sense of autonomy. That I think is really important. And then when you feel you're ready to see people and hear input about how shit things are in your life, then start hanging out with friends who make you feel good about yourself, who uplift you, not someone who's going to make you feel like this is all your fault or who's going to make you feel like this is some sort of disaster. Someone who's really going to empower you. Those are the people you need to surround yourselves with in that moment. Speaking of which,
I turned 38 this summer. Obviously, can't relate. And it has hit me hard that my face has aged and will continue to wrinkle. And in a couple of years, we'll be getting bifocals and colonoscopies. It's scary. I think aging is amazing. And mm-hmm. I do think that, like, not to offend, I know we're in LA right now, but, like, I spend a lot of time in France. And I love being in France and looking at the way that French women just age and just allow their bodies to age and look unbelievable and glamorous, but embrace all of the like parts of aging. Like, I think wrinkles are actually cool.
Whenever I've said that publicly about like going to Europe and seeing how much of a difference it makes to the way that I feel emotionally, yes. what, seeing that the women in certain parts of Europe are so much more prone to just allowing themselves to age naturally. Some people shout at me and they say that because of Instagram growing and TikTok culture growing, that actually even in Europe these things are starting to penetrate and facelifts and
which is, it's definitely Botox, true, but I think like there's and also, by the way, you should do whatever you want to do yeah. in terms of the aging process. Like, I am so pro people doing whatever they want to do to make themselves feel happy. Life is so short and the world is fucked and we're all going through shit, so if you want to do something to make yourself feel better about this process. But more my point to that is that, like, I don't know, and one of the things that I think about a lot is the way that the show Grace and Frankie repitched getting older as a woman. Mm-hmm. And I love that show so much. That's one of my comfort shows. I watch it every single night before sleep. Mm-hmm. And I go to sleep to the sound of it. But why are you laughing?
It's so sweet.
No, but it's true, because that show made me really excited to be older. And it makes me, and I love Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. Obviously, their relationship is unbelievable. But there are so many cool things about getting older. And if we repitch the idea of like being a wise older woman who has gone through things and can help younger women who are struggling and going through this fucked up Instagram, TikTok stuff, there's something amazing about that. So I love it when I like see, I guess, women embracing that.
I 100% feel the same way. I realize it's been quite detrimental to my mental health to live in a city like Los Angeles, where it just feels like everyone has the same surgeon and everyone has the same face and no one ever ages, and you can't really tell how old anyone is because people in their 20s get so much Botox
that they look 40
and then like 60-year-olds are getting so much Botox they also look 40. So it's in a city of just like all 40-year-olds, which is fine, and again, I don't mean that in a judgmental way, but it makes me suddenly look at myself differently in a mirror and start thinking about thoughts that are not really going to benefit me in any way. They don't make me a more interesting or thoughtful or better friend. I don't want to think about my skin or my face. Like, it's a fucking waste of time, and it takes my eye off the ball.
More,
and it
100%.
Makes me angry that these intrusive thoughts aren't coming from me. They're coming from the outside. But when I went to Europe, suddenly I grew immensely insecurity around my body and my face. And I was so much more comfortable with the idea of aging. And it looks so elegant to me. It looks so beautiful to me. And I want, that's what I want. I'm never going to say never, because I think that's a really weird and pretentious thing to do. But I would say that I'm a 99% certainty that I would like to see my face age and see my experiences on my face. And the health part of that is shit. You know, I've just been getting kind of acid reflux in the last hour for the first time, and I've been like, fuck, this is 37.
Yeah, but I've been getting acid reflux since I was so young.
Yeah, well, but it feels like a more common thing as you get older. And like, my knees don't work as, you know, properly. Like, I think, you know, when I look at Megan Thee Stallion twerking, I'm unable to admire her form because I'm too busy, like, marveling at her knees. Like, that's the kind of thing you start to think about at my age.
Sorry, you're like, I just imagined you twerking.
Oh my God, don't put that in everyone's head.
I'm so sorry,
people
but that is what
enough.
You just put into
people
everyone's head.
People are suffering enough.
You
it's just already a terrible world.
That. You put that in my head.
That. I'm really sorry, everyone. I'm really sorry that she has put that visual in your head. I can't imagine anything sadder than my arseless backside wiggling in all of the wrong directions.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The thing I would say is that, like, look, the health part is shit, and I'm not going to lie about that, but it is also a motivation to, as young as you can, start looking after yourself. And that means making sure you're putting nutrition shit in your body, 1,000,000%. Making sure you're exercising, because that makes that so much easier.
My mum looks unbelievable, and she's had no work done, but she's just, like, always kind of looked after her health. And I will never look as good as her, because I drink and haven't been as good as her. But she looks really good, but she looks like her age.
But it's also important to look after your mental health at this age. If you, like, get ahead of the game, like, yeah. because that kind of thing is going to impact your health and all the fucking colonoscopies and all that. And I'm not looking forward to that. I'm like, I don't know, 10 years away from the first time someone has to stick a camera up my asshole. And that is terrifying to me, all of that. But the one thing I want to say about getting older, that I personally have a very, like, a loving relationship with the idea of getting older, because all the people I was the most drawn to my whole life were specifically older women. And I mean women over the age of 60. And talking to people like Gloria Steinem, who on this very podcast, when I first started it, told me that, like, when she reached 60, she felt invisible, but then also felt completely free. And that just sounded absolutely amazing to me. It sounded absolutely amazing, the way that she talked about being post-menopause, no longer being kind of enslaved by this period and by the hormonal ups and downs constantly.
And by men being creeps mm-hmm. all the time. You know, even as I've gotten older in my 20s, I'm like, it's so nice that, like, I don't get perved on in the way that I did when I was younger, because I look like someone now that if you perved on me, I would, like, spit in your face.
You actually do, yeah. Very much so, yeah.
But I used to get perved on so much because tits, men are just so, like,
yeah, but also
tits.
Since we were children,
yeah, exactly. But that's the weirdest part, is, like, me and my friends were saying the other day, we were like the way I used to get perved on in the streets when I was a teenager versus now is terrifying.
Yeah,
how much they will creep on
it
teenage
was
girls.
Outrageous to be like 12, 13 yeah. years old and learn how to speed up past yeah. a construction site. Like my was like muscle memory of, like, if I see any kind of construction or, like, any builders collected anywhere, I would just start, like, becoming like the roadrunner and getting past them as fast as possible. And I was an actual child. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But so there are good things.
Yeah, totally. And also the, like, as I get older, like, now that I'm on my way, you know, I'm on the other side of 35. I'm on my way towards 40, and I have never been calmer. I have never felt happier. I have never felt more secure. I have never had a firmer understanding of the world or who I am. And I know that that is only going to increase. I know this is not the height of the chill that I'm going to be able to find, because I've recognized, you know, when you get to this age and you're able to, and, you know, people do stop showering you with so much attention, and the chaos does kind of slow down, and you settle into a routine or a relationship or a home or whatever. When everything slows down, you're able to look at the fucking chaos that young people are dragged through and just think, Jesus Christ, I'm so happy to be on the
other
side.
And also, you know yourself so much more. Mm-hmm. Like, because I am soon to be 30, but not quite yet, 6 months away. When I think about the shift that I've gone through in this decade, it's crazy, like, how much more comfortable I am with the person that I am and how much more I back myself now than I did before. And that's so cool. Like, I can't wait to be your age.
I don't find that offensive at all. I really agree with you. I wish I could put you in a time machine and bring you here.
Whoa. I've got loads of men I need to shag in the next 10 years.
I fucking love it. I'm like, bring on the years. Bring on the years. I love all of the wisdom. I love the fact that I get taken more seriously. I love being more free. I love being more invisible. I love being expected badly now.
You're the least invisible person in the world.
But I really enjoy it.
Said no one ever.
No, but, like, I don't get hit on as much. Like, I don't get as much attention.
No,
like,
no.
I'm not on the magazine covers. Like, I just get to be, like, free, and I'm going to be one of those really, really batshit old ladies. Like, I'm going to dress completely inappropriately. I'm going to have very, very, very bright hair. I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I like. Yeah,
getting to that age and being like, I'm just going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to chase youth anymore because youth has got some of the worst memories of my fucking life. And I think that's why, I think someone said that like the first cells that start to die in your brain as you age are the cells that kind of carry your anxiety. Mm. And that's why people just get so chill. Epic. They just sit by the window. I'm after just about get real 70.
High.
Yeah.
Just be really
oh,
high.
Yeah, no. Hard drugs yeah. is definitely
really
on the agenda.
Just high yeah. as a kite.
If you were a drag queen, what would you look like?
That's so good. Oh, I really want to remember. I fought for such a good drag queen name the other day, and now it's just forgot. Oh, I can't remember it, but it was epic.
I still really like Disgrace.
Disgrace, yeah, but it like, kind of sounds like you're trying to speak patois.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I just think I would look like me. I already kind of dress and do my makeup yeah. like a drag queen.
I mean, when I'm on stage, that is my vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But I think I would like really throw myself into like the tits,
mm-hmm.
like in a bigger way.
I don't think there is a bigger way today that I could be throwing myself into the tits if anyone is looking at the full video of this. Yeah. Anyway,
we're having a tear off right
yeah,
now,
I think that's it. I literally don't think there's much more glitter I could wear on yeah. television at this point. And I think also drag queens are a massive part of my sort
style.
Of beauty
yeah,
inspiration
yeah, yeah.
and my
yeah.
style inspiration of the Same. Fact that they just are so celebratory in the way that they present themselves. And I think as someone who felt my whole life like I just had to hide and be small and starve myself and be skinny, watching these women like plump up their hips and their boobs and
just the massive hair.
The massive
like,
hair.
I would just make my hair so big.
It feels like a giant celebration. And so I really appreciate that
just
without wanting to appropriate
it. Because one of the things I get in stand up is people are always like, why do you dress like a slut? Like when you're doing comedy. And I get all this stuff like middle aged men are like, I can't even listen to what you're saying because you're dressed like that. And so it just makes me want to do it more.
Yeah,
100%. It makes me want to just dress up more.
Someone's asked, how do you stop constantly comparing yourself to others, which is, they say, their daily battle. Is that something
Bless
that you do?
You. I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. That's one of the big shifts that has changed in my 20s. But yeah, my best advice, because that used to happen to me a lot more. It really genuinely never happens to me now, is I would go offline when I'm having those feelings, because it's the internet that really yeah. exacerbates it. So if you're feeling insecure, which could be like your hormones, like it would always happen at like when I'm coming on my period and I wouldn't realize it. And then I'd like go and look at this person who's doing much better than me and be like, I hate my life. I'm not doing anything. Do you know what I mean?
When I'm in that state, I just cut my fringe too short and then
right.
I look like a small baby lamb. Anyway,
that's really
sorry.
Good advice, I would say.
Yeah, don't cut your fringe the week before your period. Please, please. I do it every single
it's like the
month.
In Fleabag yeah. when she comes out.
Yeah, you can track my cycle from how fucking janky I look on Instagram once a month.
But I would go, and that's what, like, I do this all the time now. Like, when I was having quite a bad mental period recently, I just deleted Instagram for like 3 weeks, basically, apart from when I had to post a video for work. And because those feelings come from something inside you that's like needs a bit of attention, whether it's an insecurity, whether you're depressed, whether you've got something that's just needs a bit more care and like protection and love. And so doing anything that's going to trigger whatever that is will make it much worse. So when I'm feeling that way now, I will just say, I'm just going to delete Instagram until I feel like it's gone. And then it goes, and then I go back on Instagram and I do not feel those things at all.
Yeah, it also like we have to think about like the cause that a lot of comparison culture is a symptom of a scarcity mindset, which I think is especially inflicted upon women, and then like especially when they become minorities or different genders, etc. It's like you're made to feel like you're in this tiny pool. There are very, very limited opportunities for you, and so you have to be better than everyone else, and the markers as to what is better are so arbitrary and ridiculous, and men are just simply not held to quite the same standard as that. They are compared to each other in different ways, but there are so many more sort of generic same type of man in different jobs or fields than there are women. Women have feel like they have to really, really stand out whilst also not standing out too much and putting their head above the parapet. It's a death trap. And so
it's that in comedy, that is like, that's because in comedy it's like there's only for so long there's only been like one really really good female comedian at one time, right, being celebrated, which is why you then, and it is that when I started doing stand-up I used to feel that all the time, but then like you said, I think once you realize that that isn't true and get rid of the scarcity mindset of like there's space for more than one of you, then you won't be comparing yourself to them because you're different.
Yeah, and also recognizing that it is a deliberate fear tactic, yeah, the scarcity mindset,
to make kind of women makes you not
feel,
do it.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you don't want to participate in that. I would also say that there's a difference between healthy inspiration and aspiration. I'm more pro inspiration than aspiration, as in inspiration being like, oh, this person has that and that looks really fun and I think I would be good at that or I would enjoy that. How do I get myself to that? Rather than wanting them not to have that thing or wanting to be them. That, I think, is incredibly toxic and dangerous.
So is that the difference between inspiration and aspiration? Yeah. So aspiration is like, I want to be you.
Yeah, I want to be like you.
I am inspired by you.
Yeah, I'm inspired to do that in my own way. Yeah. I think there's like...
Inspiration is it's the best, like, we all need it to make
get inspired
us
by
ambitious.
You. Yeah.
Thank you. Crickets.
And who do you feel?
Who do I feel inspired by?
All right, it's fucking Michaela Cole.
I know, all right. No, I'm so... I said to you this morning you inspire me. I literally said it in bed this morning. She was staring so deeply into my eyes saying, tell me I inspire you, tell me I inspire
you're
you.
Such a lying...
No, but I said that because you... The way you... The phrase I said was your modus operandi. Which is the first time in my life I've said
Where
that.
Where is this serial killer like version of me that you've created come from? Sorry, okay, go on.
I'm inspired by your modus operandi because the way you lead your life, and also I'm inspired by your career deeply and I'm inspired by the things that you say about the world, but I can't, I'm throwing up in my mouth now.
Yeah,
so we're going to have to move on. But the way you lead your life really inspires me and I want to live my life, like I want to live my life in a more similar way that you do.
What, more for snacks and pleasure?
Just exactly what you were saying before, being led by things that make you feel good and letting that be a huge part of how of your decision-making process.
Yeah, I find the idea of volunteering for suffering absolutely outrageous. And I can't believe how much of my life I spent doing it, especially as having anorexia for 20 years. But yeah, anyway, I find a lot of women and other people inspiring, but I don't choose to... I where I've never landed, which I'm glad, is ever wanting someone to have less for me to feel like I have more. And I think if that's something that you are experiencing, then it's a good idea to maybe talk to someone about it. Not that person.
No, definitely not that person.
but someone
do
else.
Vocalise it, because it's not a crate.
It's not a crime.
Guilt. You feel a lot of guilt when you feel these things and you think you're a bad person.
Yeah.
And I think once you speak to them, you do feel much less ashamed.
You also get to the bottom of it because it's really not about
and then
that
someone's,
person.
And then someone will be like, but, you know, and then say something really matter of fact. And then you're like, oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think work towards use comparison for inspiration, not aspiration, as a button on that. All right. The myth of laziness and how that impacts the body. Let's unpack.
Oh, gosh. What were we saying the other day? How much we love lying down.
Mm-hmm.
I love lying down.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, like, embracing the fact that I'm naturally quite a lazy person.
Right. I'm the same. I'm a potato person. I'm just a couch potato. And also, I think this might be my algorithm trying to enable me, but I every day see a different post that says, apparently, lazy people have a higher IQ. And I'll take that, but it's clearly conforming to
that's
like
very
I clearly
much like
double
convenient
taps
for
the
them.
Light on
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah. The
too
person
many
who
times.
Wrote that
yeah,
is
exactly.
high.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think there is something in that, right? What is considered lazy is often just someone who, again, is indulging in self-preservation
or pleasure.
What was
that meme you saw the other day, or that thing, the tweet, and it was like about the 4 a.m, people waking up at 4 a.m?
Oh, yeah. If I was a billionaire, I would also tell all of my aspiring rivals that they should only get 4 hours sleep and wake up at 4 a.m. every day.
And I think it's that, like, it's that is so spot on.
So
it's like, I think a lot of people are being conned into thinking that, like, if you are so busy, that means you are successful, right? And mm-hmm. my brother says this really funny thing. My brother's favorite word as an insult is he calls people busy. Like when people just constantly say, when you say, how are you? And someone goes, I'm so busy. And all they do is talk about how busy they are.
That's
and
what they like, do in Los Angeles. That is the main that answer that you get.
That
is like,
hustle culture. Busy, man. Like, I'm busier than you. I'm doing more than you. And it's like, well, actually, we're all busy. Like if I'm lying down watching TV, I'm busy lying down watching
I'm
TV.
I'm not available.
I don't want to talk to you because I'm busy. So it's just like such a bullshit.
It's
like
capitalism it's sodden with
and
capitalism.
And like it kills people.
It does kill people and it makes people fucking miserable, and it almost killed me. Like I was so busy, I wasn't sleeping at all. I was fucking DJing with pneumonia. Like that was the most suicidal period of my life, was when I was at the height of my, you know, quote unquote success. But after that no longer became a measure of my success. I was like, that was just a measure of my misery to me. And from the outside, everyone was like, wow, you're doing so well, you're doing so much, you're on the covers of magazines, blah 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 blah. But I was so lonely. I had no time to spend like with any of my friends or any of the people I loved. I had no stability. I was never in the same place for a normal amount of time. I didn't have a single full night's sleep in maybe 8 months. And my health and my body and my heart and my brain were just deteriorating. And I was so miserable. Everything just felt so dark and overwhelming. I would not recommend. It is a lie. It's a con. And I think especially those of us who were of an age to work after the 2008 crash, we really were the ones that were like, the pressure got put on us. I know you were too. Don't worry, you can relax.
I wasn't too. I was just at very young secondary school.
I know you just love to feel really young. So.
Yeah, yeah. But
we were the generation most pressured to like quote unquote rebuild the economy, and it became glamorized to be the girl boss and the boss bitch and the bad boss bitch and to be on this kind of never ending hamster wheel. And you see so much content now being pushed out, especially towards men, just, you know, saying up at 4 a.m., go to the gym, live like this, can't work 20 hours a week so you can have this Bugatti and this, like all this bullshit. I know a lot of the people who've done that, who followed that advice and who have all the shit, and they're miserable and they're fucking lonely and they don't know what to do because they spent so much of their life trying to cultivate stuff and to impress people. I mean, there are certain countries in which if you fall asleep at your desk, you are considered like to be a noble member of society.
Mm-hmm.
Love because that. It means you've worked yourself like halfway to death,
right,
to the point where
I
you've
thought more you can admit you're tired.
No, it's like you've worked yourself to the point where you cannot actually function anymore, and that is considered noble. And I really don't subscribe to that. I think it's really awful, and I definitely participated in it when I was younger. But in the last few years, I think the pandemic really shifted something in a lot of us that just went, wait, what the fuck were we doing? If I died tomorrow from this, you know, from COVID, would I look back on the way I've lived the last 3, 5, 10 years and be like, smash that? Had a great time on this planet. No, most of us have been deceived into having all this shit that we don't need. And I've done a massive reverse now where I'm trying to sort of sell all my stuff and just have enough for a nest that I'm going to move into and hide and work when I have to and then disappear for the rest of the time. I don't want the chaos anymore. And I think that is mischaracterized as lazy, and I often call myself lazy, and I've got to stop it.
Yeah, because I do think there is a difference between like what we're describing and then like some people, like I've dated men who are like deeply lazy, and I'm like, I cannot be with you because you haven't got enough. Like,
but are they lazy or are they busy, you know, getting high and lying down?
Exactly, but that's unattractive to me. Because it's like, you know, there has to be, it's like, I'm not saying don't have drive, but I'm saying also embrace the fact that like, you don't have to be doing shit all the time. Don't be busy.
I personally don't really give a shit what someone's doing with their personal time. I think as long as they can make their own ends meet and aren't depending on other people.
Yeah, but
that's where I draw the line.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think if you are not a dependent,
a
voluntary dependent.
Live your life how you want to, but like it's when you're sponging off of other people.
Yeah, and I mean a voluntary dependent. There are some people who need to be a dependent, that's fine. Some people choose to be a dependent, whatever. But I'm
like
just saying.
I'm depending on you right now, living in your house.
as I apparently stare at you and hold a gun to your head. I think there is a big myth around laziness, and I do believe that as long as you've just about got your shit together, and I think as long as your lack of affect comes from a place of, as long as you're filling that time with something that genuinely brings you joy and makes you a happier and more pleasant person to be around, then I don't consider that laziness. I consider that self-preservation.
Retweet.
I think when you're doing it in a way that is, now you're just letting everything fall apart, I think that isn't laziness. That is just slow chaos.
And selfish, because it will be affecting all the people in your life.
Yeah. So as long as what you're doing is not destructive, I don't fucking think it's laziness. That's what
agreed,
I'm going to say.
Agreed.
Yeah. I love lying down.
I love lying down. Like, my mum will sometimes say to me, what are you doing tonight? And I'll just say, lying down.
Yeah. Okay. Someone's asked a good question, and I think this is probably more to you, but someone said, I always end up in a cute baby voice thing with my partners. I love it, but also ick. Is this common?
Yes. It is.
What is it?
It is, though, but it is disgusting.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. And if anybody heard me speaking to men, how I speak to them, I would leave the world. I would be so embarrassed.
Mine is much worse than a baby voice. And you've, unfortunately, now that you've lived with me, had to witness.
But it's less ick.
No, well, mine is an Indian accent.
Yeah, but that's less ick, like, than someone being like...
I just go into all these different characters when I'm talking to Jim. And all these different modes, like if we're having a passive-aggressive moment or if we're having a very affectionate moment, like I find it easier as a default. My sort of cute, or not cute, but just like my relationship alter ego is about 7 different old Indian men. Mm-hmm. And this man has chosen to live with me for 9 years. This week was our 9-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
And that's 9 years of him living with the 7 old men in my head. I think when it comes to ick, given how common it is, I think where I draw the line is doing it publicly.
Do it privately. No one cares.
I don't know what it is, though. Like, is it just because someone makes you feel really safe and takes you back to the most vulnerable time in your life?
It's the deepest form of affection. Like, the way you feel around someone that you're in love with is almost like you're like a fetus.
But do you think, like, this is what scares me, is that, like, is that the real us and the person we present on podcasts or at job interviews is like, is a mask, and actually we're all just like, or I'm like, but.
I don't know, because I feel like we're all masking all the time when you're doing anything publicly. Like, the way that I'm speaking right now is different to how I'll be speaking like when we go home later.
It's quite similar.
Okay, well fine. I guess I'm just really authentic then. Pause for applause. No, but I do think that the thing is the way you are with a partner is just like, it's a crazy concept. Mm-hmm. So, like, no one else should really see that. And, like, I don't like knowing the ins and outs of other people's relationships.
No, totally,
I don't want to see them.
I've banned friends from coming over until they can get a hold on it, because it was very, like, does baby want a little bit of
No, no. I was stuck at a party talking to this girl recently, and she kept referring to her boyfriend, who was, like, sat next to us, as daddy. But she would do daddy in this, like, and then daddy will go and do...
Oh. And like, no, that feels a bit scary.
For me, and I was like, get away from me.
I think
I
deep down
know
it does
what you call your partner. I think it's not my business.
I think it's just like, I think it's just really hard for us when we get sort of pushed into the world as adults when we're only 18 years old and we don't know fucking anything. And I think we spend a lot of our lives looking for some form of like some kind of parental figure. And I think that's why a lot of people are so deeply involved in religion sometimes, because you're like, God is looking out for me and God has a plan for me, and you know, God's gonna like protect me from any decision I make. And I think also maybe when you enter into a relationship with someone, they kind of become your family. And so maybe that's something that you do. It could be a few different things, because then also, you know the way that cats like go meow.
Mm.
That's not natural for cats. Cats learn to do that only for humans, because they recognize that when they made that sound, they would get affection and food from humans. So is there a possibility that, because it's mostly girls who do this, there are men who participate in it as well, but is it possible that we're trying to be like, I'm just little and harmless, don't be intimidated by me, I'm just a little
Fold me up and put me in your pocket.
Yeah
It's like when girls wear their boyfriend's clothes and they're like, oh my god, I'm drowning in this t-shirt. I'm such a little baby.
Maybe it's the two, but you know, listen, it's not ick in private. Do what you want. If it's working for you, that's fine. I think be a little bit careful with the like mummy and son because I've watched that go wrong every single time I've seen it with friends. Eventually they do actually start to look at you as their mother, and that becomes a real fucking nightmare. But other than that, I think you're all right. It is common. It's very
so
common.
Don't be ashamed.
No, don't be ashamed, unless you do it in front of us, and then we will then shame you, so you don't need to be ashamed.
Kick you out of the room in such an aggressive way. I'll kick you in the shin.
Someone's asked, how do I get over the feeling that I failed in life? And I think this is sort of a natural There's a kind of natural answer to this from a lot of the answers we've already given. In my opinion, I think it depends on what you're using to measure success. Because maybe you failed at a career, but maybe you're a really good friend, and maybe you're a really good parent, and maybe you are making other people's lives better, or you've done a really good job of pulling yourself out of some horrific trauma or some difficulties, and you have come out just about whole. That, to me, is what I deem as success.
Yeah, I think it's often these feelings, which I don't know what this person is going through, but it is often, as how what I was saying before about how you feel about yourself internally is why you will be feeling this way, if that makes sense. So it's really about doing a lot of work on yourself and your relationship with yourself, because it's kind of, it was the one about rejection or comparison. But when you are depressed, for example, which like I have been like at periods in my life, I feel I'm failing at absolutely everything. And even like my friendships, like everything looks different to how it actually is when you're in a specific mental space. So there is definitely a part of that. I don't know what this person is going through, of like addressing how you're feeling about yourself. But then completely, I agree with you that we have such a warped idea of what like success is, and we don't value having amazing friendships, and we don't value the fact that we've like got great like relationships with people in our lives, or like look after our health, or like are good at something that's not a job, you know?
Yeah.
And I even thought about this because I've had a dog now for a year, and I was like, do you know what? I'm actually impressed that I've kept a dog alive for a year. Like that, I was really proud of myself for that. And that to me has been a big achievement in the last year. Nothing to do with work, but I was like, I'm really impressed that I've like stuck with this dog. And like, she's really...
And it's a really happy, loving, like healthy dog.
Exactly.
She's done a really good job.
And everybody says that. Everyone's like, your dog is such a nice dog. And I feel really proud of that. So there are other forms of success that aren't career or relate or romantic relationships.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've massively, I think in my career, I have received some really intensive bullying, especially from other women. I haven't actually really had many issues with men in my time in this industry, but some women have made my life a fucking living hell. And it's because what they think I'm standing in the way of for them is some fucking statue. It's some fucking award that they want to hold in their hands, and they're worried that I might get it. Not that talented or ambitious. Never going to happen. Never coming for your award. But some people presume that because so many of us, especially in this industry, but I think this applies to many industries, again, going back to the scarcity mindset.
Yes.
My life has been made miserable by these people, and they are miserable because they're so obsessed with this arbitrary marker of, I don't know, respect from their peers or being told I'm finally enough. Medals are fucking insane. They're ridiculous.
And also, you are, if you're someone who's doing that to other people, deep down, you're going to feel really fucking shit about yourself. So
yeah,
it's a lose-lose situation, because you're losing out on whatever it is that you think you're losing out on, but then you're actually going to feel really shit.
It's also, it's an exhausting way to live, and it's also a very isolating way to live, because you lose a lot of friends along the way, because it's exhausting to be around that. It's exhausting to be around someone who's just constantly on the hustle all the time, trying to acquire. It's like, who are you doing that for? What are you doing that for? None of the people that I love the most, do I ever even, I don't know how much money they have, I don't give a fucking shit what they do for a living. It's just about the human connection.
Yeah.
And I said this on a podcast recently, and people said that I was very dark, and it wasn't in a racist way, but they said that it was a very dark thing to say, but I'm going to say it again. Which is that my greatest wish for the people who have made my life hell to try and step over others to have industry success is that they get the success that they want. And for me, I think that is the cruelest thing you can wish on someone. Without fail, when you get that statue, when you have that pinnacle, and I can say this from my own experience, then you realize it doesn't make you happy. Now, I'm really lucky that I was 26 when I reached that sort of apex of whatever kind of success I was going to have back in England. But imagine getting to 30, 40, 50, 60 and getting it finally, and then realizing it doesn't make you happy, and then thinking of all the bodies you stepped over to get there, and how many friends you lost, how many people you isolated, how many miserable times you had at work, how many sleepless nights you had thinking about someone else other than yourself and obsessing over what they might take away from you, that horrible scarcity mindset. it is quite a dark thing to wish on people. But like, I voted for those people to win awards.
Mm, but I think that's that's like what I'm saying is that is all a feeling that they have inside themselves. So nothing is going to change it. No matter what they get in their career or whatever it is that they're trying to get, it's that feeling is not going to go away unless they do work on themselves.
And it's so corrosive. And so I don't choose to. I think I'm really lucky that I learned that lesson, both from realizing very literally it doesn't make you happy and it makes you suicidal sometimes, and from watching how far other people have been willing to go and like what they've been willing to put me through to the detriment of both of our enjoyment of the job.
Yeah,
because it's like we should just What's be so point? Happy to be there. We're so lucky. We're so privileged. It's like, let's just have a good time.
Have a good time. And then also it does make stuff better if people are enjoying.
Totally. It's really batshit. And it makes me like, now that I'm older, before I used to be angry, but now I just feel very sorry for them.
That's good.
And I know not to engage or to beg for their affection any longer. That doesn't work. It does push people further away. Don't do that. Anyway, so I think it depends on how you measure success. But I think, first of all, it is an ongoing effort. There is no final destination for what success is. You keep finding new margins of success or things that you want to reach as you get older. And you should never stop striving towards them, because otherwise it means you're dead. Just shift them to things that are realistic and organic and actually going to bring you joy and fun and bring you closer to other people. That's my opinion.
Do you mind if I get the crisps out of my bag?
No, that's fine. I think we're going to wrap up.
Okay. Just so hungry.
Can we just discuss the fact that I just...
No, I wasn't just listening. I wasn't listening, Jamila. I'm so sorry. I just suddenly got so fucking hungry and I'm like,
I hate you so much.
No, but I haven't eaten anything today apart from that tiny bit of yogurt.
That's fine.
I was having a really low blood sugar moment.
I'll just go fuck myself. That's fine.
These are such good crisps.
Can you give me one?
Mm.
Tell everyone, before I kick you off this fucking podcast, tell everyone where they can find your other work.
Oh.
Don't fucking touch the
crisps. I'm so bad with this. I am Grace Campbell, and I'm on Instagram, Disgrace Campbell, and TikTok, Disgrace Campbell. And then I've just made a podcast for iHeartRadio where I went on 28 first dates with strangers and then speak about the dates, recorded the dates, speak about the dates, have not been on a date since because it was so traumatizing. So please listen to it so that my trauma is worth something.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And she is amazing. She's slightly disrespectful when she's hungry. But now we're going to go.
That should be on my gravestone. She was amazing, but slightly disrespectful when she was hungry. That's what I want to be remembered as. My ex-boyfriend, whenever I'd start an argument about nothing, he'd be like, "What have you eaten today?" And I'd be like, "I haven't eaten anything." And it would be like 2:00 p.m. And he'd be like, "Can you eat? And then come back to me and let me know if you still have this problem." And then I would eat and I'd be like, no, I'm over it.
Oh my God. What a nightmare. What a brilliant, fun nightmare you are. And now we're going home together.
Thank you
for coming and answering all these questions and for being so honest and personal and giving. Love you lots. Go on, fuck off.
Love you.
And of course, thank you everyone for sending in your incredibly thoughtful questions.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.